Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Browns Nation, how is everybody feeling as the Cleveland Browns seek out win number 8 on the football season? In what, just walking around this building, you could tell is a very anticipatory, energized situation. Great to have you with us, everybody. I'm Michael Regei. My guy Matt Wilhelm is here. Nathan Zagura will join us later on in the show. And, oh, do we have so much to get into today. But, Matt, we walked through the dog bowl here in the Browns facility, and you and I encountered a couple of the fellas, players in the cafeteria today, and everybody seems to have a little bit of a bounce in their step and really looking forward to the second Battle of Ohio against those Cincy Bengals on Sunday.
Oh, they definitely do, and I think a lot of that has to do – some of it has to do with Johnny Manziel. But once you look past him and that change as you know, the week goes on and you get truly back to business and assume your role within this team scope to beat the Cincinnati Bengals, an opportunity to sweep a division opponent, a division rival, and again, sweep that Battle of Ohio, which means a lot to many people and a lot of the young players on this team understanding the division race and what it means, and also, too, the success and maintaining that success, because I think if you lose this one, you have a potential to lose that season and maybe finish no better than 500. And a winning season is something that you grasp onto, something that you build off of. And winning this football game keeps your hope alive towards something greater, which is a playoff appearance.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. And you think about it. I mean, remember, this was a 6-3 football team. This was a 7-4 football team. Until the last 2 weeks, for the first time all year, let's remember, back-to-back losses, first time all year at Buffalo and against the Indianapolis Colts. Mike Pettine referenced that on Monday with regard to basically playing for your lives. Very small margin of error, no room. What he's saying is there's just no room to lose. We know this. You know, 9-7 isn't going to get it done this year.
It's not.
Well, the culture of the AFC tells you that 9-7 isn't going to get it done.
It's not. And again, I think as sad as it is and it's such a big stride as this team has made, 9-7 is huge for this organization. But as you said, in the scope of the AFC playoff picture, 9-7 might as well be 7-9 because you're going to be left almost with certainty outside looking in at everybody else. When you look around in years past, there's been 500 teams creeping in. I've been a part of that in the AFC, winning our division at 8-8 and hosting a home playoff game and actually beating Peyton Manning. So it's tough. But again, I think as hungry as these guys are for a playoff appearance, I think they'll hang on to the fact that they're building something special here and that there's a significant portion of this locker room are the right people and are bought in towards changing this culture.
Playing like a Brown, that comes from head coach Mike Pettine and his staff. And, yeah, you're absolutely correct. There's no question this foundation is being laid in a very, very solid framework to go forward. And not done. They're just starting with it. Yet, and ironically, the last time this football team was in this rarefied air, if you want to call it that, Matt, because as we know, and any buddy in Browns Nation knows, it's all about then 4-12 and 5-11, seemingly every year. 2007, a 10-6, and as you said, look at what we have going on in the NFC South right now. It's obvious an under 500 team is going to win the division,
yes.
And Matt Wilhelm host a playoff game.
And it's tough. And that's the one thing that, again, I want the Cleveland Browns to continue to push and make a say in this playoff race. Whether they do or not, they need a lot of help, and it's not only on them going 3-0. But I want people to grab onto the broad spectrum. And I know this team, in some cases, hasn't done right by you lately with, again, those down seasons they've had year after year, 5-11, 4-12, 6-10, and so on and so forth. But it's been an enjoyable season. And I think at this point right now, you're getting a spark in Johnny Manziel as an addition to this great season that hopefully can cap it for you and not only keep you alive, but end on an extremely high note that transitions you into a very optimistic offseason and a very, again, a fast forward, as we talked yesterday, that you want to hit that fast forward button and have it get here sooner than later, which is a very good thing.
All of that and a whole lot more to talk about. Listen, lock in with us for the next couple of hours. Matt and I have got a lot of areas of conversation to take you down, such as we begin with our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day. Debut of Johnny Manziel. Is it one of the biggest moments that the Browns have had since returning in 1999? Some now counting this one 16 football seasons ago. We'll delve into that. All right. Our coordinating producer, Jason Gibbs, is laying out stock up, step up for us this week. We do it, myself and Dustin Fox and Mary Kay Cabot will do it tonight. We've been doing it each week all season long on Browns Red Zone on Sports Time Ohio. We're going to do it right here on Cleveland Browns Daily today. Who's your stock up player this week for the Browns? Think about that now. And who is the Brown that needs to step up his game on Sunday? We're going to hear from Johnny Manziel as he discussed his debut in the National Football League in terms of a start yesterday with the media following practice. We've got the Browns Roundtable presented by the folks at Blue Point Grill. Love all the fare there and the hospitality restaurants. Doug Deacon will be by. That'll kick off the 2 o'clock hour. Of course, we've got Fact or Fiction coming up. Nathan will get back and join Matt and I for that, and Nathan might even have some time to delve into your fantasy football tweets. You can give us a jingle, 216-578-0850. Tweet at the show. Hope you have them memorized by now. You should, right?
Yes, you should. Hey,
at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Nathan Zagura, at Michael Regai, at Browns underscore daily. You got four different ways to get a hold of us, and you can do it like that. So, again, the whole menu here is laid out for you today. Got a lot to do. Maddie, here's where I want to start in our opening segment, because we talked about this. We hit on it a little bit. Some offensive thoughts for the Browns. We'll get into the defensive side as well with the Cincinnati Bengals in mind from your perspective and what Marvin Lewis and crew may have dialed up for Johnny Manziel. My feeling is that we're probably going to see a much more with Manziel taking snaps out of the gun, maybe with the offset back in the pistol with the back behind him to incorporate more of read option and zone read for Manziel. Brian Hoyer, Matt, took about 65 to sometimes 70% of the snaps under center.
Yes.
Don't see that being something right now that would fit with Johnny Manziel without the experience and having not done it in the National Football League. So do you believe that that is pretty much the way that Kyle Shanahan, just from ground roots, is going to stylize his offense in taking best advantage of where Manziel's at?
Yes and no. And here's the reason why. And I think it's and again, this has nothing at all to do with ego by any means in my reference to Kyle Shanahan. But I don't think when you're 14 games deep into a football season, you conform change everything for one player to match his skill set.
Uh-huh.
There'll be some sprinklings of those things. You'll see maybe 10 of those situations where he's going to be in the gun or in pistol where Brian Hoyer may have been under center. But I think so much of what this offense does forces you to be under center. You can't run that zone stretch out of the shotgun. You know, you can't run that stretch cutback that we see when Isaiah Crowell gets running one way and winds it all the way out the back door. You can't do that out of the gun because they're already there. They're already set, or it's going to take too long for him to get back to the backside, and the linebackers will not flow. So I do think we're gonna adapt to his skill set, and it's what's going to make it very interesting to watch. Well beyond just him being dynamic and choosing to leave the pocket when he sees it fit. But I do think that Johnny Manziel will have to conform, unlike we saw in the struggles of Tim Tebow, to be able to get under center and take that and be able to turn his back to a defense and make a read and trust his pre-snap read, and also too trust the timing and the execution from his wide receiver. So there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
More so
small doses because we're talking about week 15.
Correct.
But you brought up a key again. Now, and to me, this is something for everybody that wants to get into, Texas A&M. I'll let Matt, but I would advise that you kind of put that way on the back burner because, guys, it just doesn't apply to the National Football League. Sure, it's more about, and Mike Patton referenced that yesterday. Matt, though, the thing for me again, and listen, just for clarification purposes, I'm very enamored with what Johnny Manziel has skill set wise, his talent, his ability. I think I want to see him too. Let it rip, man. Let it rip. I've always felt Manziel's not afraid to make throws. Spin it. Let it rip. Now, are there going to be some situations where maybe? Do you think we'll be saying, oh, what was he looking at? How could he make that throw? Yeah, I believe there's going to be those.
There are. And a lot of those, Reg, are not as a detriment to Johnny Manziel and his skill set.
No.
It's a detriment to his inexperience.
Correct.
There's scenarios that are going to come up that he's just has not seen before. There's going to be a blitz that's going to come that the Browns have not offered him that he might have only seen on tape but has never executed. There may be a few things, for those new additions that are going to be centered around his skill set that Kyle Shanahan may add are only going to get executed in practice when they're going at three-quarter speed, protecting their legs, not banging because of the physicality of last week's game and the detriment of the entire season. So it's going to be full speed, bullets flying. How is he going to react? How is he going to execute? And I do think if you go back and look at the Bills game, you've got to give him props for coming in and executing that 80-yard drive. But what I'm interested to see is when he's got a full week to prep, because I do think Johnny Manziel, that situation fit him well. Bring him in, off the cuff, just go, boy. Do what you do, and just lead this team centered around your talent, And now he's got to play 65-plus reps using that talent and relying on his teammates, and it's going to be so much more of a team concept, which Coach Mike Pettine has beat into our heads about some of the shortcomings of the offense with Brian Hoyer. It's not just him. This team will continue to lose if they don't play better around the quarterback.
Biggest thing yesterday, I tweeted it out. I got in a Twitter conversation about it because that was the most compelling thing that Mike Pettine brought to light. And again, I loved it that he said he spent time with the football team and most specifically the offensive side of the football and said, if we don't, all the other 10 of you, pick this up in ways that we haven't been in these last 2 weeks in back-to-back losses, we'd be foolish, meaning this building, to believe that the result is going to be any different. I thought it was very poignant and very telling from the head football coach.
I do too, and I think, yes, Brian Hoyer was on a one-year deal, and Johnny Manziel was a first-round draft pick who was signed into the future. But I think it's also, too, just speculating based on my experience that in some cases, this deep into a football season, when you may or may not make the playoffs, that might have put some guys on alert as well. Some of the middle of the road guys. And again, I don't
was
even
was that by design from Mike Pettine?
I would hope so.
I would hope so.
I think because at this point right now, Mike Pettine is not 100% positive because, again, management can do whatever they want. But Mike Pettine, for the most cases, is going to be back next year. So he's putting these guys on a high alert to see how they receive that message, and he's going to evaluate them the same way he's going to evaluate Johnny Manziel, and management's going to evaluate them from a quarterback position moving forward because he will be able to handpick now with free agency, draft, and expiring contracts who I want and who exemplified playing like a Brown and who didn't and who, when the going got tough, after Indy, a 25-24 loss, I called everybody out. Who stepped up and who just kind of mishmash, you know, kind of turned in and just became ordinary, or who, you know, kind of fell off or maintained that pace? Because those are the people that you don't want around. So it's bigger than just the Bengals game. This is the next three, and also two, in some cases for some guys, their career next season.
We could safely say, Matt, that those type of players, as you said, if they're just going to meander and look to be playing out the string, probably won't be Cleveland Browns next year, and are the kind of guys you don't want as part of the type of foundation you're trying to set here. I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Pretty straightforward.
Yes, it is.
And the reason that Mike Pettine laid that out. All right, again, let's get into this again. There's an energy around here. No question about it. Second Battle of Ohio. The Browns have won two of the last three. They know that they've got to be able to beat Cincinnati again to give the Bengals their fifth loss of the year. They got that tie. Cincinnati's got that overtime tie with Carolina that has them that half step ahead of Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and a step and a half ahead of the Browns at 7-6. Matt Wilhelm, Michael Regei, Nathan Zagura will join us later. Laid it all out for you. Again, Ohio Business Machine, hot topics of the day. Debut of Johnny Manziel Sunday, one of the largest moments the Browns have had since they returned in 1999. And who's your stock-up guy on the Browns playing side? Who's your step-up guy that needs to pick things up on Sunday? We'll start right there. 216-578-0850. That's when we get back. Let's go. Keep the energy alive here in the Dog Bowl in Berea on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.